The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily.
Thanks for joining me here today on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. I'm Dwight Falk, filling in for Mr. Stephen Fleury, and you might notice, if you're watching the YouTube stream, that I am not in Edstone or in Edmond. I'm actually in Rapid City, South Dakota, and so greetings from Rapid City, South Dakota. What are we doing here? Well, God's Church is celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and one of the locations here is Rapid City that we are assembling at. And also, after the feast, there's an exciting concert that we're putting on. And if you are in the Rapid City area, anywhere out in this neck of the woods, you might be interested in this. It is the Celtic Throne performance that's going to be here at Rapid City at the Rushmore Plaza Civic Center, and that's on Sunday, October 11th. That'll be at 2 p.m. And then Monday, October 12th at 7 p.m. Sunday, October 11th at 2 p.m. and Monday, October 12th at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at CelticThrone.com. And so it's a nice facility out here. It's a really good auditorium. I think you'll really enjoy the program, and you'll love the show. There's Irish dancing. There's music. The music's just outstanding. The dancing is incredible. You're going to love it if you come out. And if you haven't seen it, this would be a great time to do it. And if you have seen it but you'd still like to come again, you are welcome to come on out to the Celtic Throne performance. It's being advertised here all over Rapid City. And so hopefully we'll have quite a good turnout. CelticThrone.com is where you can find more ticket information. And then also you'll notice at that website that we have a few more concerts coming up. The performances of Celtic Throne then will be back at the Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond, Oklahoma, and that will be later in the week after October 11th and 12th. So all the information, times, dates, everything is there at CelticThrone.com. But yeah, we're here in Rapid City, so I'm able to fill in today on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I'm very happy for that opportunity. Mr. Stephen Fleury was discussing doing some programs during the feast with some of the stand-in hosts, and he told me that, well, I could maybe record something ahead of time before I left Edmond if I wanted to, but I thought it might be nice to do something from Rapid City, and which I agree with. I think that's great. One of the reasons, too, also, is that there's so much happening, and so much happens in a matter of a few days that if we're too far removed from the actual date of airing, then things change. So we wanted to make sure we were pretty close to live, as close as we could be, although we're recording this one a few hours ahead of time. But again, we wanted to be able to keep up to date with the news and everything that's happening. And there has been a lot happening that I'm sure you've noticed. Headline to start with is, of course, President Trump. He has been tested positive for COVID-19. That was late last week. That was, I think it was Thursday night I saw the news, and then Friday it was on all of the headlines, of course. And so, of course, depending on what news media you look at, the story's a little bit different. The left-leaning media, which is a good number of them, they are saying, well, it's really dire, you know, dire circumstances here for the president. And the ones that are a little more on the conservative side say that seems like he's doing better and he's improving. And I just saw a recent headline that he even took a little bit of a trip recently, just out of the hospital, apparently. So there is, of course, debate on how he's doing and all of that. But most people on either side of the political aisle, when this story first broke last Thursday and Friday, most people were very quick to, you know, wish the president the best and, you know, show even a little bit of unity, which we haven't seen a lot of unity in this country recently. But they showed some unity, at least for a time, which was really good. But then, unfortunately, that didn't last. it didn't take long for the division to come back and for people to be really quite vicious, you know, particularly in attacking the president and just really mocking him and causing, making some pretty unkind comments, especially for somebody that's in a potentially serious health situation. So Fox News reported on this. Saturday Night Live, you might be somewhat familiar with that program. It's sort of a comedy show, I guess. And they have some political satire. That's one of their main things that they do. And their host for this last week, and I think this might have been their first program that was actually live since COVID, I think. So maybe I don't have that right, but I thought that's what I had read. And it was hosted by Chris Rock. He's a comedian that was hosting the show. And in his monologue, here is what he said, according to Fox News. Quote, before we even get started, let's say the elephant in the room, President Trump's in the hospital from COVID, and I just want to say my heart goes out to COVID, Rock said to a huge laugh. So people were quick to really laugh at the president, make fun of the fact that he's ill. And it's a big joke, I guess. It's a big joke. Not funny, of course. It's nothing to laugh at. But it reportedly received a huge laugh. And I think it does just highlight the division, the hatred in America. Both parties are pretty well dug in to their positions, conservative and liberal, I guess, as they would be categorized. And there is a lot of hatred, extreme hatred, towards the president of the United States. Some people, you know, wished him some pretty ill will, even when he is, you know, battling COVID. So it didn't take long for the division to become more exacerbated and for people to not be unified behind the leader of the country, but to really come after him in some pretty terrible ways. But I think it does certainly highlight the division in the United States. And that's something that's pretty negative, and it can be pretty distracting and cause us to just be in a negative mindset. But there is good news that's coming. And that's the thing that we want to focus on in particular. We do have some headlines, including this one, that are, again, I mean, they do highlight some of the problems in this world. But there is a solution to these problems. And that's what's so wonderful. And Mr. Gerald Fleury, the editor-in-chief of The Trumpet magazine and thetrumpet.com, he has a new article titled, A New Government is Coming. And if you haven't read that, please do so. I mean, we need a new government. We need a new government in this world. And it's not going to be, you know, through presidential elections or debate cycles and all of these things that we've been witnessing. It's going to be God's government. That's what's going to unify people. Mr. Fleury writes, in the United States, we are in the final days before a presidential election. No matter who wins, it seems half the country will be convinced it spells doom for the nation. And that's right. No matter who wins, half of the country is going to think it's the end. You know, this spells doom. The division is, I mean, it's about 50-50, I guess. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's split pretty well down the middle. So much division. But he went on to write, Mr. Fleury writes, this event, talking about a new government coming, God's government coming. He says, this event was first announced nearly 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ himself. You know, people don't often think of Christ as a prophet, but he was. He was a prophet, the greatest prophet, a newscaster. He talked about what was coming. It says, Christ came to earth with a message, and this is recorded in Mark 1, verses 14 through 15. It says, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. And it says the word gospel means good news. It's good news. You could probably use some good news, right? I could for sure. It's good news. It says Christ's message was the good news of the coming kingdom of God. See, that's the good news. And in all this division in the current election cycle in this country, there's good news that's coming, but it's coming from the government of God, putting an end to this division, putting an end to this fighting, really solving some problems. But we do live in a very frustrating time. However, we have to fight the temptation to sort of bury our heads in the sand and not want to hear about it or see it, because it's a valuable teaching tool. It's very valuable to see the end result of man's ways, right? I mean, what do we see in this election process? Well, we just see a biblical truth on display that man cannot rule man. Mankind just cannot rule man. Every time he tries, it ends in division, it ends in hatred, it ends in bickering and fighting. We saw that, on display in the recent debates. And man can't rule over man. It has to be God's government. Look at it. I mean, just look at what's happening. Mankind doesn't have the solutions to the problems that we see. There just aren't any solutions that man has. COVID's a perfect example of that. The cure, quote unquote, is worse than the disease. Lock everything down, lock everybody up, shut everything down. What difference has it made? Maybe it's prevented the spread a little bit, but people get sick. And most people recover, actually. There are some that have died, for sure, but most people seem to recover. So anyway, that's sort of another topic, I guess. But just in general, looking at the division in the governments, especially in the United States, the division is just growing. It's intensifying to the point where a sitting president gets ill with something that, again, could be serious depending on a person's health and how they're just doing in general. And people are mocking it. They're making fun. They're laughing, wishing ill will. But at the same time, there are some that are holding prayer vigils for the president. So again, you see the division. Some are praying for the president. Others are mocking him and wishing him ill, and wishing him, death, even in some cases. It's pretty repugnant, pretty terrible. And certainly that's not the way God wants his people to, treat dignitaries that are in office. They should be respected, even if, they don't know or understand God's truth. God does say that nobody rules unless it's by his, allowing it. So there should be proper respect for the person in office, and we just don't see that in this country. There's a lot of laughing and mocking and scorn, even in the most serious situations. It just highlights the division, and that's going to be put to an end when Christ does return. There are no solutions. Mankind doesn't have any solutions. They've tried every type of government there is, and we just see more and more problems. So it's going to be interesting between now and the actual election coming up in November, and we'll see how that all develops and how the president does with his health and so forth. But we do have to really watch what's happening and learn the lessons of it, the lessons that man just cannot rule mankind. He tries to rule himself, but as God has said many times, it doesn't work. We need the government of God. That's why Christ came with that good news that of the soon coming kingdom of God, that gospel message. So we'll see what happens over the next few days with the president and COVID and so forth. And it's going to be interesting to see what the media says if he makes a full recovery and moves on, which is very possible. Then what are they going to say about it? Because then he will be in a position to say, yeah, I've had it and I overcame it. And, it'll sort of undercut their alarmist viewpoint. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. But we do see, and we do know that the division in this country is extreme, and it's becoming more extreme all the time. And the solution to it is the government of God. That we do know for sure. Here's another headline that's pretty interesting from Bloomberg. It says, Germany warns of nationalism risks 30 years after reunification. So while the U.S. media is focused on the U.S. for the most part, which may be understandable, there's a lot happening in other parts of the world too, including Germany. And they're casting their eyes around the world and getting more involved in global politics and global initiatives. It says Germany warned that nationalism risks undermining the international political system, which helped pave the way for the country's reunification. It says, marking 30 years since the day East and West Germany combined, quote, this is a quote now from President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, it says, makes us aware of the benefits of the international order, which is today so seriously challenged, unfortunately, even in Western societies. So he's, looking at the United States, looking at President Trump. The article talked a little bit about how, the U.S. is being viewed now as being more nationalistic, more isolationist, more concerned about themselves, ourselves here in the U.S. And so Germany's, saying, oh, well, hang on now, somebody's got to lead this international community. And, wouldn't you know it, they might be up for the job. It says, we Germans, this is Frank-Walter Steinmeier again, president of Germany, says, we Germans stand for international cooperation, even if it's become more difficult. And he said that in a speech at the country's reunification festivities on its Day of Unity holiday, adding that Germany had rejected, quote, national navel gazing. So that's an interesting expression. You may have heard of that before. Somebody says, well, you're gazing at your own navel. And if you think about your anatomy, that means you're kind of looking down on yourself there. And you're just focused on yourself. So if you walk around and you're gazing at your navel, you don't see where you're going. You're very self-focused. And Germany said, look, we reject that. We reject national navel gazing. We're going to be very much involved in international situations. And when you consider Germany's past, that should give us some pause and say, well, what are they going to do when they're involved, when they're leading even international initiatives? Well, here's a quote from He Was Right, and that's a free booklet at thetrumpet.com. It goes through some major prophecies that Mr. Armstrong, got right out of the Bible and talked about for years and years, and we can see them coming to pass more and more. And so it's a great booklet to remember what Mr. Armstrong prophesied and how it's coming to pass. And it's coming to pass because it's God's prophecies. They come out of the Bible. That's why they're valuable. But Mr. Armstrong was given some insight into those, and God gave him that insight. But here's what's written, and He Was Right, in relation to Germany. It says, Germany was and remains the primary force behind all of Europe's moves towards federalization and expansion. But in order to dispel suspicions about Berlin having imperialist goals, the Germans generally pushed such moves and initiatives under a banner of striving for the, quote, common good of the European Union. And that's from The Plain Truth of October 1976. It says that the West Germany has tried so hard for so long to bring about common community positions on one front after another. In addition, by always espousing the common European cause, she is less suspect of nationalistic motivations. After all, World War II is not that far in the past. And so that was written there in 1976. And Germany would push for, European initiatives, but really at the heart of it, it was a German initiative. But they were a little bit cautious about the way it would look. They didn't want to be suspect of having nationalistic motivations. It goes on to say, though, that, and this is the Trumpet staff writing, it says, but since Germany's first baby boomer chancellors, Gerhard Schroeder and Angela Merkel, came to power, Berlin has been less preoccupied with trying to downplay its supremacy. So they're not so much worried about that. They're a little bit removed from World War II. And so they don't feel quite as, they don't feel quite the need to sort of cloak their ambitions in this greater European agenda, maybe. And that ties right in with what Frank-Walter Steinmeier just said this past Saturday, that look, Germany has rejected national naval gazing. We're not going to just sit here and, you know, stare at our own navel and mind our own business. We're involved in international situations, international politics, international relations. And so they're making no secret about the fact that they want to be involved and really in a leadership position. So again, when Germany begins to look outside of its borders, usually it ends up actively working outside of its own borders. And for what purpose? For its own goals, of course. And Bible prophecy does show that they'll rise one more time. There's going to be this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. That's a religious and a political union. And it wreaks havoc. It's the final resurrection of that empire, that Holy Roman Empire. There's one more to come on the scene. When Mr. Armstrong was on the scene, it was the sixth head. It was Hitler. It was Mussolini. There's one head coming. And again, they're throwing off the concerns of the past. They reject this navel gazing, as Frank Walter Steinmeier called it. They reject that. They're not going to just, you know, mind their own business because somebody's got to take the lead internationally, and they don't think the U.S. is doing it. And so they're going to be much more involved. So with everything going on in the United States, don't forget about Germany. And don't forget about what they're doing. And, of course, the trumpet really watches what's going on there in Germany and Europe. And, of course, every area of this earth, you know, Russia, China, all of it, the United States, of course, Britain and so forth. So the trumpet's vital because it looks at all of these power blocks. They're all very active. We can get pretty caught up in what's going on here in the U.S. if we live here and or whatever country you might be listening from. But don't take your eyes off of Germany and what they're doing and what they're involved in. So that was a pretty interesting headline, I thought, in relation to what Germany said there and President Frank Walter Steinmeier, what he said about Germany rejecting national naval gazing. Well, I'd rather they look at their own navel than be looking at me in terms of what they do when they get their ambitions focusing outward. Because, again, they do have a mind and they do have a desire to expand and to lead and to rule. And often that comes at quite a cost to other countries. Back to the U.S. here for this headline. Again, just another tough situation for 2020. This also is from Bloomberg. It says, California's grim fire mark. Burn exceeds last 3 years combined. So they've had all these wildfires out there in California. It's been quite a bit, and to the point where it just has exceeded even the last three combined years of burning. It says wildfires in California have burned a record 4 million acres since the start of 2020. That's a record. Charring more land in the past 9 months than during the previous 3 years combined. And you've probably have, maybe depending on where you live, maybe you've experienced this. I actually talked to some people just yesterday that are here in Rapid City. They're from California, but Southern California. So they have not had the fires directly, but, you know, they're out there in that area. And I was just telling them that even in Oklahoma, we had the smoke come from those fires. And we had haze for, it was 2-3 days at least, pretty hazy. And it was the fires, the smoke from those fires. That smoke went all the way to Europe even. They experienced it in Europe. So amazing how many fires there have been. It says the results are devastating. The more than 8,200 blazes since January have killed 31 people and destroyed more than 8,400 homes and buildings. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection said on Sunday, the number of acres burned is more than double the previous record set in 2018. So records are being set, but they're not good records. So it's been quite a rough year in 2020. And it says the fires have been stoked by searing hot weather, tinder dry brush left after years of drought, powerful winds, and other conditions that state officials say have been made worse by, what do you think? climate change. They say it's climate change. Of course, it's climate change that has done all of this. And that's what's you know, behind the fires. So, well, now, that's an interesting thing to say, because what it's doing is it's taking people's attention away from God. Is what does God think about these fires? Is he aware of them? Does it matter to him? Is there a lesson to be learned from this? Well, if you say climate change, then it just sort of makes it this nebulous, it's something that's happening, and then, of course, they want to fight against it in certain ways, ways that give certain special interest groups a lot of control. And that's been written about at the Trumpet as well. There's a political agenda there. But still, it also takes the attention away from God. It's just sort of this climate change. But notice this prophecy here in Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 through 17. And this relates to us today. Now, we're modern Israel in the United States and in Britain and in other nations such as Canada, etc. And God was giving a warning here. It says, this is Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 through 17. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day." So, I mean, what commandments were those? Well, it's the Ten Commandments. It says, "To love the Eternal your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." That's the first commandment. It says, "If you do that, I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, and you may gather in your corn and your wine and your oil." So it'll be really good. There'll be rain. You'll have good crops. You'll have all these wonderful things. It'll be outstanding if you diligently hearken unto God and to his commandments. It says, "But take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, and then the Eternal's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the land which the Eternal gives you." Again, that's Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 through 17. So, God's very clear here. Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. When people are talking about climate change, it's deception. Why are there problems? Is it because of climate change? Or is it because we've forgotten about God and obeying God, and we don't obey him? And we have other gods. We have idolatry. Because remember, we read, well, why did these fires occur? Drought. Heat and drought. Who controls the rain? Who's at the switch? Who turns it on and turns it off? I don't know anybody, humanly, that does that, right? God does that. God turns it on and he turns it off and he decides what will happen there. He has power over it. And, but they just say, well, it's climate change. You know, those droughts could be quite a powerful lesson. Those fires could be quite a warning for us. And it could really turn us back to God if we would understand what he says here in Deuteronomy and believe him. Just believe what he said. You know, if people in California began to seek after God, the fires would stop. There'd be rain. Things would improve. But that doesn't look like it's happening, and fires continue. Record-breaking fires. As a matter of fact, saying climate change is deception. It just makes it seem like, well, you know, nothing to do there except whatever the special interest groups tell people, you know, and institute their versions of control and use these curses that have come upon our land to try to gain more control for themselves through deceitful means and not point people back to God, which is what these calamities should do. It should cause us to stop and think and say, well, why is this happening? And then look into the Bible and see what it says. And we just read there that God, you know, will send drought as a curse. And we see that happening, unfortunately, in California and other places. Here's one last headline today. And again, it's a record, but it's not a good record. 2020 is the year of records, right? But they're not good records. This is from CNSnews.com. It says the debt of the federal government topped $27 trillion for the first time on Thursday, October the 1st. The federal debt had topped $25 trillion for the first time on May 5th, 2020. It then climbed another $1 trillion in just 35 days, topping $26 trillion for the first time on June 9th. And then only 114 days elapsed from when the debt topped the $26 trillion threshold on June 9th to yesterday, when it topped $27 trillion for the first time. So it just keeps going up, trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. It's a nation-destroying problem. That type of debt is not sustainable. It just isn't. It's too much. It's too much debt. And, of course, what are a lot of people talking about right now? Well, it's another COVID stimulus package. You know, we shut down the economy to try to prevent the spread of an illness. And so the economy's had a lot of problems. They had problems before then, but this has just added to it. And so that potential new COVID stimulus package, which they're talking about this week, if they can ever come to some sort of agreement, it could be as high as another $3 trillion. $3 trillion. And there's debate about what it would be and so forth. But so we'd be up to, what, $30 trillion debt? And, of course, those numbers, there's other debt there as well. But just focusing on this federal debt here, $27 trillion. They want to add maybe another $3 trillion to it. When does it stop? When do we pay any of it back? When's the last time you heard about us paying something back? Maybe they do something I don't know about, but the numbers are just going up and up and up. It's a curse. It's a curse. Notice Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. It says, "The Eternal shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow." Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. So this is in the context of obeying God. If we obey God as a people, this is what God says we will receive. All these blessings. And we would be the people lending and not borrowing. I mean, you look at these headlines and then you just look at some basic scriptures in the Bible. Are we being cursed or are we being blessed? Well, we're clearly being cursed. I don't think anyone can dispute that. Why that's happening, now there'd be debate. You know, people say, well, it's climate change or it's, you know, economics. Or they look at something physical maybe, but there's a spiritual cause for these problems. Is it related to all the division in the country? Is it related to all the sins that are being committed in the country? Is it related to, you know, all of the idolatry? Of course it is. Of course it is. All of these things, again, if you look at them just by themselves, they're a big problem, but you tie them all together, it becomes a massive problem. But also, it's because of one cause, and that one cause is rebellion against God. If we repented, God would bless us, and we wouldn't have these curses. The Feast of Tabernacles that we're celebrating now, God's people are celebrating, it pictures a time where we're going to have God's unified government. People will be obeying God, and they'll be blessed for it. If they don't come up to the feast, they won't have rain, right? There's a prophecy about that. I didn't mark it in my notes, but it just came to mind, you know, that God prophesies that. Look, if a nation doesn't come up to keep the feast, well, they won't have rain. And you know what'll happen. They'll be up there next year. Of course, they'll learn. But they'll understand, look, we didn't get rain. What happened? Oh, we didn't go to the feast. We were supposed to. Well, our nations today say, we don't have rain. Why? Well, it's climate change. Well, it's a curse from God. Debt skyrocketing, record levels. Curse from God. Because he said if we obey him, we would lend and not borrow. Right? So it's a curse. COVID in general, I mean, or pandemics or illnesses, whatever. There's all kinds of illnesses. It's a curse. The division, the fighting, the violence, the hatred. It's all a curse. They're curses because we have not obeyed God. But if we don't understand the cause, then we're not going to find the solution. We have to understand that obeying God is the solution to these problems. And thankfully, those solutions are coming quickly with God's government implementing his law. So a lot of interesting headlines to look at there, obviously. It's going to be a very interesting week ahead to see what happens with President Trump and stimulus packages. And that's just some of the things that are on the docket. Who knows what else will happen, but a lot to pay attention to. But again, when you see these headlines, when we read these headlines, you know, then go back to thetrumpet.com, go back to your Bible and see what God says, and make sure we have a right foundation to understand these things that are happening in the news. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at an interesting study, a little bit of a study, and see how we can be more positive in this increasingly negative world. We'll take a look at that right after this. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, coming to you today from South Dakota, Rapid City, South Dakota. We'll be back right after this break.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, here on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm, and a live link at thetrumpet.com, also streaming on YouTube. And I'm Dwight Falk, filling in for Stephen Fleury, and I'm in Rapid City, South Dakota today, and this is one of the places where we're keeping God's Feast of Tabernacles. Also, there's an exciting Celtic Throne performance coming up, two performances here in Rapid City. I just wanted to mention that to you. This will be October 11th at 2 p.m. and Monday, October 12th at 7 p.m. And it's going to be here in Rapid City, South Dakota at the Rushmore Plaza Civic Center. It's a Celtic Throne performance. You can get tickets and more information at CelticThrone.com. And then also two shows coming up back in Edmond, Oklahoma at the Armstrong Auditorium. Again, CelticThrone.com, all the information that you need there. It's a great show. And if you like Irish dancing, if you like good, upbeat, exciting music, a lot of dramatic scenes, you're going to love this performance. So Celtic Throne coming up here in Rapid City. CelticThrone.com is where you can get all your information on that. And then a few shows back there in Edmond, Oklahoma as well. And so we need some positive things in life and some positive things to think about, and that certainly is very positive, because there's so much negativity in the news and what's going on in this world. But I was looking at the list of the top 10 selling books from last week, and this is from the Wall Street Journal. They have a list that they publish, top 10 books. Just a couple of the titles, or a few of the titles, that I wanted to mention to you here, and you'll detect a theme, unfortunately. The number one selling book was Rage. That's by Bob Woodward. I believe that was about the Trump administration and trying to dig up some dirt in there. Here's another one. This is from Candace Owens. It's the third most popular book, Blackout: How Black America Can Make Its Second Escape from the Democrat Plantation. So she's on the other side of the political spectrum, and she's talking about how the minorities, and the blacks in particular, I guess, are being used by the Democratic system Democratic Party as she views it. So that's the third most popular book. The fourth most popular book is Killing Crazy Horse, The Merciless Indian Wars in America. So going back into some of America's history. And again, there's always some things that are negative in American history, but there's also a lot of positive. However, it seems like the negative is what's being focused on. Another top-selling book, Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink, Sean Hannity. Another one, Don't Lie to Me and Stop Trying to Steal Our Freedom. So there, again, a lot of these are very political, and some of them are more on the liberal side, others on the more conservative side, but a lot of negativity, a lot of just finding things to be upset about and being angry. There's so much hatred, there's so much division, lots of complaining, bickering going on. It's been going on for quite some time, but especially during this current U.S. election cycle, a lot of complaining, a lot of bitterness. We've had a summer of discontent. The cities have been rioting. And race problems, and just such a negative spirit dominating everything. But I was thinking about this a little bit because I had watched the presidential debates on Tuesday evening, and then on Wednesday, I actually started driving out here to Rapid City. So the route I took was through Nebraska, and I have not been to Nebraska before, so it was my first time through that state. And, you know, people had told me, like, well, it's not the best drive in the world. It could be a little boring, I guess. But I thought it was really nice. So, I mean, I understand that there's not a lot out there. So I can see why people might say that about the drive. But at the same time, it was beautiful weather on the drive. I think it was 72 and sunny. So it was perfect for me. And as we drove through Nebraska, it was just miles and miles and miles and miles of corn. And they were harvesting it. And so it was exciting to see that. Here we were on our way to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's in the fall. God planned it that way because there's the fall harvest. It pictures bringing mankind into God's family, this massive harvest. And we're driving through a big harvest. And so it was a great picture of all of that. But I know that the corn and the food production in the U.S. has definitely been modified in a very negative way and caused lots of problems for people's health. So I understand all that. But still, just to see miles and miles and miles of crops being harvested, it was really quite a scene. And I thought, you know, how much corn do they have in Nebraska? So I looked it up. Nebraska farmers, it says, produce well over 1 billion bushels of corn. 1 billion. And Nebraska is only the U.S.'s third highest producer of corn. Illinois and Iowa produce more. So just Nebraska alone, it's over a billion. So you think, well, how much, you know, is one bushel of corn valued at? $3.70 per bushel. And that, of course, fluctuates, but that was roughly what it was when I looked at it. So over a billion bushels, $3.70 per bushel. You can do the math on that. It's a lot of money. And they're not even the biggest producer in the United States. And it's just stunning when you drive through the U.S., and that's just part of it, and you see the blessings God has poured out upon us. So on one hand, I'm thinking about the negativity in this debate and the fighting between these political parties and the complaining and the, you know, accusations of racism that we hear a lot and so forth. And then I'm driving through these just beautiful, beautiful fields that are being harvested on a beautiful day. And God's given us all of those blessings, all of those blessings. And how do we combat the negativity in society? How do we combat negativity in our own lives? We can get pretty negative sometimes about things. I mean, it's easy to do because we have some hard times that come up. How do we battle that? How do we fight against it? One way is just to be very thankful. Be thankful for what we have. We should be so thankful for what God has given to us in this country in particular. I mean, why are people so upset? Look at the blessings that we have. This is a quote from the United States and Britain Prophecy, Britain in Prophecy. It's from Herbert W. Armstrong. It's free at thetrumpet.com. If you haven't read it, please do. It's essential. But if you haven't read it in a while, it's good to get it out and just look at some of this. It says, first, realize just how great, how rich and powerful the American and British people did become. People are prone to take their status and that of their country for granted. And that's true. You can ask yourself, do you take it for granted if you're blessed to live in the United States or in Britain or Canada or these other nations, focusing mainly on the U.S.? But, I mean, there's blessings in all these modern Israelite nations. How blessed are we? Do we take it for granted? I mean, the blessings are they're everywhere. And, of course, we're seeing more curses now, but we still have a lot of blessings that come from God. And God will bless us if we obey him. But Mr. Armstrong writes, you know, few realize what unprecedented affluence our countries enjoy. We judge all things by comparison. The average Briton, Australian, or Canadian has never traveled through the illiterate, poverty-stricken, disease-infested, backward areas of China, India, Middle East, Black Africa. He has not observed the squalor, the stench, the poverty, the wretchedness in which the largest part of mankind lives. No, our people generally have not realized, nor have they been grateful, nor have they given God thanks, nor accepted the responsibility that accompanies their lavish blessings. How much in that, if you watch the presidential debate or you've watched any of the political back and forth, how much do you hear about thanksgiving, about being thankful for what God has given to us? God gave it to us. God gave us these blessings. Maybe you've heard some commentators talk about how, oh, America was built on slavery. That's how America got what it has today. There's not a single human being on this earth that went and made that river that runs, you know, the Mississippi or the Missouri rivers or any of those rivers that run up through the heartland in different areas. And it could be used for transportation of the goods that come out of there. No man made that river, those rivers, that river system. No man laid the soil. Who laid the soil in Nebraska? What man came through? What group of men came through and just laid all that soil down in Nebraska and Illinois and Iowa? Which man was it that came and formed the mountains? That came and planted all the trees for the timber in the Pacific Northwest? Or which man went down and made the weather really, really good for citrus crops in Florida? Who did that? God did that, obviously. And we just sit and bicker and fight and complain and point the finger and say, oh, you took everything from me and I'm the, you know, you stole it and you did this and you did that. And just infighting and trying to be apologetic for these blessings instead of just thanking God for them. Thanking God for them and then striving to obey God. I mean, it's pretty arrogant to think that we just sort of have this wealth that just sort of happened. Either we stole it or it was built on the backs of slaves, as some people try to say, which doesn't make any sense. Or, you know, whatever the bickering is. Or, you know, it was our own ingenuity that did it. We were just really smart and we figured things out. God blessed us. He blessed us. We have been blessed. Notice this, Mr. Armstrong quotes Deuteronomy 33, verses 13 through 17. And this is Moses. This is his dying prophetic blessing foretelling what would happen to each of the tribes in the latter days. It says, and of Joseph he said, blessed be the eternal. Blessed of the eternal be his land. For the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that couches beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, both. His glory is like the firstling or the firstborn, the birthright holder of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. Great Britain's national seal has unicorns. It says, with them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And so he says, whoever is Ephraim and Manasseh today, must have been in possession of the earth's choicest agricultural, mineral, and other wealth. The great gold and silver mines, iron, oil, coal, timber, and other resources. What nations fulfill these prophecies? What nations fulfill them? You take somebody that grew up in a more of an arid area on the earth, and they, you know, weren't able to grow much food, and they live in an impoverished situation, and you just drive them through Nebraska, just drive them through corn, miles and miles and miles, billion bushels of corn, and that's just one state, and then tell them, yeah, it's pretty rough here, you know, yeah, we don't get what we want, and this person's doing this, and this political party's doing that. They would just look at you and think, are you out of your mind? Look at what you have here. Look at the blessings you have here. It's unbelievable how blessed we have been as a nation. Why are we in debt when we have all of this wealth? Because of sins? Why are we bickering? Why are we so full of self-loathing in this country? Instead of being thankful for the blessings that we have, and then again, accepting the responsibility that comes with them. The blessings are here because of Abraham's obedience, and God will give us those blessings and continue them if we obey him. But if we don't, we have curses instead. It's not climate change. It's not a political party. It's obeying God or disobeying God. That's it. And then curses come in a variety of ways. But we have to be obeying God and be positive and be thankful. We should be very thankful for how God has blessed us. Individually, collectively, that's the antidote to negativity, right? Is to be thankful. To be thankful. We can't be negative and we can't be upset and we can't be victims, have a victim mentality when we stop and realize how thankful we should be. We should be so thankful for what God has given to us in this country. Here's just Colossians 3 and verse 15. Very simple statement, part of that verse. Be you thankful. Really straightforward. Sometimes, you know, you have to understand certain things to really understand the meaning of a scripture. This is pretty straightforward, but as straightforward as it could be. Be you thankful. Be thankful. If we can be thankful and really develop that attitude, we're going to be positive. I mean, the negativity, again, we do have to watch. We do have to pray. We do have to realize what's going on in this world and learn the lessons from it. But we should be thankful people. The United States should be thankful. Britain should be thankful. Unfortunately, they, for the most part, are not. But we have to be thankful for how God has blessed us. He has blessed us. And the Feast of Tabernacles is a time where we really should rejoice and be thankful. God tells us that. Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 through 15. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that you have gathered in your corn and your wine. I thought about that when we were driving through Nebraska. You know, they're gathering in their corn, literally, but they're not going to keep the feast and rejoice and to thank God. To thank God for it, but that's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to be thankful. Notice this too. It says, you shall rejoice in the feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. So the stranger, I mean, people that aren't even naturally born Israelites. They're Gentile. They came in from somewhere else, but they're here. They should rejoice. They should be thankful because look at the blessings. Look at the blessings. I know there are pockets of the U.S. that are impoverished to an extent. I know that. I've seen it. I've lived it somewhat. But I also understand that the quote-unquote poverty in the U.S. is wealth compared to most nations. We are very, very blessed in this country. Very blessed. And God tells us to rejoice and to obey him. Obey him and rejoice and keep the feast. Keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And the whole world will do that. They will keep the Feast of Tabernacles after Christ returns. And if they don't come up to the feast, there won't be rain. Right? We talked about that. Finally, it says, therefore you shall surely rejoice. Rejoice in your increase. Rejoice in what God has given to us. Be thankful. Be thankful for what God has given to us. Be thankful for that. God wants our minds positive, focused on rejoicing and being thankful. We should spend a lot of time. We've heard this over the years, certainly in God's church. We should spend a good portion of our time in our prayers being thankful, thanking God for what he has given to us. It's come from him. You know, again, you look at the blessings of the United States. No man did that. No man did that. No man planted those trees or put that river system in or made the climate what it is. Nobody did that. I mean, I could be sitting in a barren wilderness freezing to death right now, but I'm not. I'm in Rapid City. It's actually quite nice. I think it's a low 70s and sunny. It's beautiful. I didn't make this day, but I can thank God for it, and hopefully I do. And it's just important to be thankful, and we have to. It's easy to not. It's easy to just be negative and to find something to be upset about, but there's so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. You know, part of keeping the feast is staying in temporary dwellings. You can read about that in Leviticus 23. We stay in temporary dwellings. Why is that? Well, there's a few reasons, but one of them, as mentioned in Leviticus 23, it says that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the eternal your God. Right? We were slaves. Israel was slaves. In Egypt, God brought us out. God blessed us. He blessed the slave people. And he wants us to obey him. And then other people will see that. They'll see that obedience. And they'll say, we want to be blessed like that too. We want corn like Nebraska has. We're going to obey God. We want rain. We're going to go to the feast this year. That's what Israel was to do, was to lead people to God. And of course, unfortunately, we're doing the opposite. We're ungrateful. We're unthankful for the most part. Bickering, fighting, and yet we've been so blessed. We need to be thankful. To be thankful. And as God's people, be even more thankful, because if you've been called and you've been baptized, I mean, you've been brought out of slavery to Satan, slavery to sin. You can read about that in Romans 5 and verse 10. I'll just read it. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See, we're bought back. Christ's sacrifice, it buys us back. It redeems us from sin, from captivity to Satan. And then Christ can live in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can grow and we can develop God's character. I mean, you just think about how thankful Christ was. He would thank God, his Father, all the time. And he went through trials. He went through a lot of trials, we know. The worst trials anyone's ever gone through. But he thanked his Father all of the time. He was a thankful human being. He was thankful, and he set us the example in how to be thankful. How to be positive and to think the right way. We should be very thankful. Just stop. I mean, if we start getting a little bit negative, which we can do at times, I think all of us, we should just stop and start really counting our blessings, being thankful for what God has given to us. And it's going to get our minds going in the right way. And also, it's a reminder that if we want those blessings, we have to obey God. He wants us to do that. And he wants to bless us. And he wants us to rejoice and be thankful for those wonderful blessings that he has given to us.